This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And here are Monday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. May corn 507 and 3 quarters, up 3 quarters. July corn 513 and 3 quarters, up 1. September corn 510, up 3 quarters. May soybeans 1508 and a quarter, up 10 and a quarter. July soybeans 15, up 5 and 3 quarters. August soybeans 1426 and a half, down 1 and 3 quarters. May wheat 7 and a quarter, no change. July wheat 708 and a half, up a quarter. September wheat 716 and 3 quarters, up a quarter. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
I'm Bob Reese, and this is Monday's report of the grain prices and trends prepared by the USDA and the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were steady to higher on Monday. Corn closed on the positive side with planting delays this week due to the cool weather and cool wet weather. Wheat was steady with other wheat areas in the world getting rain, and soybeans were higher with commercial buying the tight supplies of soybeans. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids a penny higher, $4.78 to $5.07. Soybean bids were 10 to 11 higher at $14.78 to $15.04. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 1 to 5 cents higher, at $5.75 to $5.08. Soybean bids were 10 cents higher at $15 to $15.13. In the southern part of the state, shell corn was a penny higher at $4.92 to $5.26. Soybean bids were 6 to 10 cents higher at $14.90 to $15.20. And soybean bids were steady at $6.80 to $7.08. Illinois soybean processors' cash soybean bids were 13 to 15 cents higher at $15.21 to $15.53, with the basis 3 to 5 higher at $13 to $45 over the May. Hypro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at $5.11.80 to $5.27.80 per ton, and Illinois corn processors' cash corn bids were 1 to 5 cents higher at $5.06 to $5.24, with the basis steady to 4 higher at 2 under to 16 over the May. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted their producer corn bids 1 to 2 cents higher at $5.13 to $5.17, with the basis steady to a penny higher at $5 to $9 over the May. Soybeans ended 12 to 15 cents higher at $15.08 to $15.16. with the basis 2 to 5 higher at option to 8 over the May. New crop wheat prices were steady at $6.82 to $6.84, the basis steady at $25 to $27 under the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 1 to 2 higher at $5.38 to $5.40. These elevators raised their soybean prices 7 to 13 cents with quotations of $15.28 to $15.42. Soft wheat closed steady to 2 cents lower at $7.30 to $7.37, and Milo ended the day 1 to 6 cents higher at $5.28 to $5.33. Now in the northern and western part of the state, corn ranged from $4.67 to $4.82, soybeans $11.92 to $12.20. In the central part of the state, corn was $4.67 to $4.87, and soybeans $12.06 to $12.24. In the southern part of the state, corn ranged from $4.73 to $4.88, and soybeans from $12.05 to $12.36. Soft wheat ranged from $6.68 to $6.95. That concludes our report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Monday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. April live cattle, 145.40, up 40 cents. June live cattle, 136.82, up 5 cents. August live cattle, 136.12, up 52 cents. May feeder cattle, 181.10, up $1.10. August feeder cattle, 186.35, up $1.72. September feeder cattle, 186.80, up $1.67. May lean hogs, 120.97, up 5 cents. June lean hogs, 124.22, down 30 cents. July lean hogs, 122.75, up 7 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Monday the 28th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was 39 cents lower in the range of 105 to 108.85, with the weighted average carcass price of 108.77. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading steady to $2 lower, with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 80 to 90. 4 to 5 weights were 84 to 92, 5 to 6 weights 86 to 94, and 6 weights were 88 to 98. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading steady to slightly lower, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $75 up to $83. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled $11,889. And from the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 233 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $118.41, and that was $2.28 higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading mixed. Choice carcasses were $233.17, and that was 34 cents higher, with select carcasses at $221.57, that was 7 cents lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 114,000 compared to 103,000 last week and 119,000 for a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 344,000, that compared to 273,000 last week and 416,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. April and May corn delivered to Greenfield, $5.13. April and May corn delivered to Scottville, $5.04. April and May beans delivered to Greenfield, $15.08. April and May beans delivered to Scottville, $14.97. April wheat delivered to Scottville, $7.01. Once again, their pre-opening prices are: corn at Greenfield is $5.13, corn at Scottville is $5.04, beans at Greenfield are $15.08, beans at Scottville are $14.97, and wheat at Scottville is $7.01. A cross-species drill is taking place this week in Washington, D.C. to test the crisis plan for a potential foot-and-mouth disease outbreak. Pork Checkoff Assistant Vice President of Communications Cindy Cunningham says this type of training is critical.
This kind of a drill is important to agriculture because it helps us to better prepare for a crisis response should we have a foot-and-mouth disease outbreak in the U.S. It also helps us to prepare for other diseases, other situations, other crises that impact the livestock industry in the U.S.
This drill will be bringing together industry stakeholders,
including our government agency partners that we work with, to test the plan and to determine what went right in the plan, what needs to be changed in the plan, and just how we can update and continue to improve the response plan should we have a foot and mouth disease outbreak in the United States. It's important for folks to remember this is just a drill of the plan. There is no foot and mouth disease in the United States. In fact, we've been free of the disease since 1929. The concern is if we were to get a foot and mouth disease outbreak in the United States, the impact that it could have on the livestock industry and the nation for that purpose.
This effort ties together all segments of animal agriculture. Cunningham says this cross-species approach enhances communications and the overall crisis response.
It's important to understand that when beef, dairy, pork, and lamb are working together on this issue, we're partners in protecting the agriculture and specifically the livestock industries of the U.S. There are times that we all compete for the protein choice of consumers, but in this case, it's an important tool for all of us to be working together to make sure that we can continue to protect our industries and be able to move forward should something like this attack all of our industries.
Again, that was Pork Checkoff Assistant Vice President of Communications, Cindy Cunningham. According to a Time magazine article, a new federally funded study published in Nature Climate Change has found that biofuels made from corn waste, or corn stover, release 7% more greenhouse gases over the short term than gasoline. That's because by using corn stover as a fuel source, farmers aren't letting the plant residue remain in their fields, when over time it would enrich the soil with carbon. The carbon gained by swapping out gasoline with next-generation ethanol made from corn stover doesn't make up for the additional carbon lost by the soil. While next-generation biofuels are better for the climate over the long term, the study concludes they're not green enough to meet federal standards for subsidies, which require cellulosic ethanol to produce at least 60% less carbon than gasoline. American Farm Bureau economist Matthew Erickson says there's a tremendous disconnect in this study's assumptions from real-world stover to fuel practices.
This study implied that all farmers would willingly and consistently remove 60 to 75% of the corn residue from their fields. And it didn't take into consideration anything that a farmer conducts within their normal operation.
Best practices recommended for residue removal are that no more than 40 to 50% of residue is removed for no-till systems, 20 to 30% for conservation tillage practices, and 0 to 10% for conventional tillage. But Erickson says the farmers removing stover from the field are only removing 10 to 25%.
The high majority of farmers would be hesitant to take off the 60 to 75% of stover because they're going to need this residue to put back onto the field to nourish and to replenish the soil for next year's crop.
This is not the first time biofuels have come under fire. Previous arguments included the worry of taking away forest and prairie land to grow crops for biofuels and food prices increasing as the result of food crop-based fuels. Erickson says there are numerous other studies from reliable sources, such as the USDA, that show how biofuels benefit the environment beyond reducing greenhouse gas emissions.
One benefit from biofuels is it's environmentally cleaner, and air emissions from vehicles using biofuels are cleaner than gasoline, which reduces smog.
But the moral of the story seems to be that more research is going to be done or needs to be done in the argument of biofuels being better or worse for the environment when you look at the big picture. The Food and Drug Administration announced on Friday it will not take actions in its animal feed rule to discourage the use of spent grains. FDA Deputy Commissioner for Foods and Veterinary Medicine Michael Taylor said the FDA will work to clarify the rule. Feedback during the comment period indicated the proposal might disrupt or eliminate the practice of using spent grains as animal feed. The requirements for animal feed proposed would have been similar to human food requirements, which, Taylor said, would have imposed cost without adding value for food or feed safety. He called that something that does not make sense and stated, "We are not going to do it." The Western corn rootworm is the most expensive insect pest of corn. Farmers across the planet battle it, and it just keeps adapting. Now the little bug that gnaws off roots and chews on ears has developed resistance to the first genetic modification made to corn to control it. The resistance just keeps spreading, says University of Illinois Extension entomologist Mike Gray.
That's correct. Last year, in cooperation with Joe Spencer, who's an entomologist in the Illinois Natural History Survey, Joe conducted some plant-based bioassays, and recently we reported on those results for Mercer and McDonough and Sangamon counties, and we were able to confirm that there are resistance issues to that Cry3BB1 protein that you mentioned. That brings the total up in terms of confirmed cases to resistance in Illinois to six counties.
Henry, Whiteside, and LaSalle counties round out the confirmed list. Two more, Livingston and Kankakee, may yet be added to that tally. However, more tests need to be run. Farmers, in the meantime, are turning back to the old standby soil insecticides to protect the corn crop. This is happening in Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota, and South Dakota.
So we're seeing this planting time use of soil insecticides increase pretty remarkably. And that's unfortunate in some respects because in most cases, a lot of producers have switched over to the pyramided BT hybrids. Again, these are hybrids that are expressing not just one rootworm protein, but two proteins. And whether it's University of Illinois data or data coming out from other land grants, we're pretty united in the fact that we don't believe that the use of a planting time soil insecticide with a pyramid is a good idea. There should be plenty of protection from the use of that pyramided BT hybrid.
Here are some reasons not to add a soil insecticide to a pyramid BT corn hybrid at planting. Unlikely to significantly improve root protection, unlikely to improve yields. It may hasten resistance development due to delaying adult emergence even more significantly and leading to non-random mating, and increases the risk to non-target organisms and beneficial insects. And here is your Illinois Weekly Crop and Weather Report. Producers made significant planting progress in the field last week as temperatures slowly increased throughout the state. Corn planting increased to 32% complete, in line with the five-year average of 33%. Oat and sorghum planting progressed to 66% and 7%, respectively. A few farmers switched to soybeans after they finished planting corn. There were about 5 days suitable for field work with some moderate rain over the weekend. Statewide temperatures averaged 57.6 degrees, 1.8 degrees above normal. Statewide precipitation averaged 0.62 inches, 0.23 inches below normal. Topsoil moisture was rated at 11% short, 74% adequate, and 15% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated at 5% very short, 25% short, 65% adequate, and 5% surplus. Winter wheat conditions were rated at 2% very poor, 6% poor, 30% fair, 48% good, and 14% excellent. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.